We're doing that Brooklyn Nets talk right here on Talkin' Nets. Brooklyn, we go hard. We go hard. Talkin' Nets. Hosted by Keith McPherson.
Yes, sir. Welcome back to Talkin' Nets, episode 231. Keith McPherson, Alex's arm, and special guest Trista Crick. I come to you today on the second half of a back-to-back knowing we're about to get our ass kicked. I come to you today after being a stupid Brooklyn Nets fan and getting real back in. I know the Atlanta Hawks are trash, but I like winning, and I like watching winning basketball. And the Brooklyn Nets found a way to win back-to-back games where I said, yeah, here we go. Now we're going to make a run for the play-in. Now things are going to start to gel and look like, I don't know, a regular NBA basketball team. Fool me. Can't fool me.
Do you even want the play-in, though? Like, what's the point of that? You know, even if best case scenario, this team was to somehow get into the play-in and then somehow win two games in the play-in tournament and be an 8 seed. You don't want that Boston smoke.
We want Boston. We want Boston, as maybe, I was the one in the viral video ago leading that pack. I mean, I didn't care. Whether we wanted Boston or not, that's who we were getting. So I was in the Brooklyn Brigade in the block. I'm the only one that thought to record a video of the arena chanting, "We want Boston." And ESPN reached out like, "Hey, can we use this?" And I'm like, "Sure." And I was like, I should have said no. We sure got Boston. Trista, I always talk about the fact that these guys have been swept out of the playoffs 3 out of the last 4 years. They got swept by Toronto out of the bubble. They got swept by the Boston Celtics with KD and Kyrie. And then they were swept last year by the Sixers without KD and Kyrie. 3 out of the last 4 years. 2021, you said you were at the game in the Bucks series. You were at those home games. It seems like a distant past. What I feel like with the Nets is just like, how did we get here so fast? There's been a lot of miserable times in the Nets fan history, but the vibes are extremely low.
The vibe check has got to be like about as bad as it could possibly get right now. Like I think about this team and other teams that are in bad shape, like Memphis. I mean, do you guys even know who Matt Hurt is? Like, I don't know who Matt Hurt is. I guess he went to Duke. He's from Minnesota. I think he was the one putting buckets on your head last night.
I became familiar with him last night, and we joked on a podcast. We beat them last Monday in Memphis, and I'm like, bro, they're rolling out guys that are G League guys that you never heard of, that, like, casual NBA fans, like, you don't know who they are. Like, casual NBA fans only can identify Marcus Smart, D Rose, and John Morant, and they're on the bench.
Jaren Jackson didn't play in that game either, did he?
He was out. Yeah.
They knew they didn't need anybody to beat the Nets. The Nets took them lightly. The Nets, if I pull up the stats right now, which I did this last night on WFAN, and I try not to even talk about the Nets on WFAN because it's a waste of airtime. I already mentioned that they're broken, like they're physically banged up, hurt, right? Ben Simmons, he's not even worth mentioning. Cam Thomas is in a walking boot. Mikal Bridges hurts his wrist, but since he's Iron Man, he tries to stay in the game and play. You guys saw his shot, and he's such a like long arm, like flick of the wrist guy. Like once his wrist is hurt, his right wrist, they should have taken him out of the game, but. If I look at the box score again and you go and look last night, I'll screenshot it and bring it in here. The fouls and then the foul shots. Like, this team sucks. It is what it is. The funny thing is there was a conversation floating around yesterday on Nets Twitter about Nick Claxton going to Memphis and in return, the Nets getting Luke Kennard. And there were a ton of Nets fans on some shit like Luke Kennard isn't a good player, as if we have a ton of good players, as if like the Nets are above a Luke Kennard. Yes. Who I think had 25 last night.
Well, I mean, I saw a bunch of Nets Twitter as well about that trade where it was, but I mean, it's Claxton. It would have been Claxton, Grizzlies first rounder this coming year, which is probably going to be a high pick because of how bad they are, and then a future first rounder in a sign and trade situation, which I wouldn't be mad about because that would go into a rebuild and you don't have to pay Nick Claxton over the next 4 or 5 years. I mean, I don't mind if Claxton stays or goes because he's a young player. He's got, you know, he has good capabilities. I think if he gets like a, like I've been saying this for a long time about Claxton, and I mean, we'll talk about that technical completely ruined the momentum like that. If he didn't have that
dumb,
like then I think we go on a bigger run and I think we end the third quarter well. But with Claxton, you know, he's, when he had a legit point guard, I remember KD was out for about a couple weeks before he got traded, and it was Kyrie and Claxton. Claxton was literally averaging a 20-point triple-double, a double-double every game, and was still defensively great. So you just, like, if he goes to Memphis, Ja Morant will get the best out of him next season. But despite all that, the Nets won't make that trade because it's too smart of a trade to make, and we don't make smart trades, so...
like, don't do anything smart. There's nothing smart about the operation. It's broken.
No, and you're right, because here's the thing that's the biggest issue. And any other organization that gets 2 first-round picks for a player like Claxton is going to find a, especially a high first round pick, is going to find a way to maximize that. But I was looking back today at everybody that Sean Marks has drafted. The only good pick that he's made since 2016 is Jared Allen. I don't think Cam Thomas was a great pick. I know that it was late first round, so you're getting it's fine, 27. I'm sure if I look back at that draft class, there's probably other guys that would have been better. But, like, Noah Clowney and Whitehead, it's just, you look at what he's done over those 8 years, and I don't really know. So if you have 2 first-round picks for Nick Claxton, what is he going to do with it? Can he evaluate?
Well, I mean, to be fair, yeah, no. I mean, again, like, Claxton, I mean – the reason why I'm okay with him staying is because if you do still go into a rebuild, he's still very young and he is a good. I think Sean Marks has had 4 good picks in his tenure. Nick Claxton's one of them because I think he was the first pick of the second round.
Yeah.
Cam Thomas, like you mentioned, because if you do a redraft of that year that Cam Thomas was drafted, he'd probably go around like that 10 range. He'd definitely be lottery pick 100%. And then
I don't know about that.
Jared. Oh yeah, if you look at the draft again, like there's some players that were picked higher than him. Where you're like, are they even like rotational players? And then Jared Allen, absolutely, I agree with. And then, I mean, before the injury, Caris LeVert looked really, really good, and now he's sort of just like a role player. He's a 6-man for the Cavs, and he's still a decent player. He's just not like all-star level, you know. But Jared Allen has been, like Cam Thomas has shown flashes, and Nick Claxton that last year was fantastic as a defensive player. So, I mean, he's if I were to give a positive to Sean Marks, which isn't many, he's good at finding decent talent at the back end of a draft. So, which
is
why
don't give him a lottery pick.
I know, which is why I'm so adamant and trying to go to a rebuild, because that's the one thing he's decent at. And then he just wants to go all in for another time.
A rebuild? You speak of a rebuild? Shout out to Ree Wallet. She said, a reminder, the Nets willingly stayed the course at the deadline despite offers to reset its original clock. After we lost last night, people were like, wait, this is the squad? You didn't want to give up picks for Mikal Bridges, right? Like, wasn't there a rumor that Houston wanted to give us some of those picks back?
Yes.
But they were so set on Mikal Bridges, Brooklyn Bridges. That's your man's. Like, come on, yo. What are we doing? Like, I get it that Mikal Bridges is an Iron Man. He plays every day. He's a good personality. Like, he's a good guy. But, like, it seems like this is not, like, they're not doing good business.
He's not a 1A either, right? Like, if you could have gotten 4 at one point, I know that was what they were offering for Mikal Bridges. That you have to do that. And you're probably getting some young players as well to match that salary. Mikal Bridges was one of the most coveted wings in the league. I don't know if he's that as coveted as he was when he came in, right? He had those huge nights right when he got traded from Phoenix. He had some like massive production where they were thinking, oh, maybe we do have a 1A, but he's not. He knows that he's not. He's probably the third best player on a championship team.
Yeah, I mean, on this team, they seem to think that, you know, Ben Simmons is going to be something. Let's go there. Injury report. As my new chant for the Brooklyn Nets, you'll hear me in the arena tonight saying, broken, broken, injury report. Hate to lump Cam in. I think I saw a video of Cam Duncan. So he's on his way back. Like, he's trying to come back. This is his second ankle sprain this year. And I think it's the opposite ankle. I think he sprained his left early in the season, and now he's got the right one. But Ben Simmons, that boy be shopping, carrying them shopping bags. Messes up his back. That lower back is a real problem. It was a problem last year, the first year he was here, and here it is again. Now, whenever I bring up the BS, Ben Simmons, I always talk about the fact that, like, yo, why would you plan around him? And I always bring up the fact that nobody else was picking up the phone and staying on the phone with Daryl Morey. Nobody else in the league, I don't think, was taking that trade package. I remember screaming about, hey, Tyrese Maxey, we got to get their best young guy in that deal if we do the deal. And we'll see the Sixers tonight. They're going to smack us. They don't need Embiid, especially second half of a back-to-back. These guys lose how they lost last night. We'll see when the injury report comes out. I'll try and keep an eye on Twitter to see what happens with Dayron, what happens with Mikal Bridges. But, yo, it's just bad when you take on Ben Simmons and – I think I saw, let me see if I can get Eric Slater's tweet up here. Eric Slater put out the number of games that Ben Simmons has played out of the number of games that he's been here for. And it's similar to KD and Kyrie, right? It's actually way worse. But like at the same, because like, you know, I got to give KD and Kyrie some credit. They did have moments where they were absolutely hooping, where they were balling.
I saw a tweet that said if you combine all the games that Ben Simmons has played from when he first joined the Nets, he still wouldn't. Yeah, 57 games. That's still not enough to
qualify for any awards
for this season. It's 65 games. So also,
57 out of a 178.
Jeez. And I just saw Eric Slater tweeted Dayron's out for tonight. So that's another body missing. And Lonnie Walker's questionable, but I think he'll play tonight. But yeah, that's just for tonight, I guess.
Damn. The hits keep on coming, bro.
I host a betting show, so I'll probably just fade the Nets tonight.
Yeah,
whatever the number is. Right. Let's see.
Take your time. Go on the app right now.
Yes, yeah, see what it is. See what it is. So the line looks like it's 3. Wow, only 3.
Yeah, I gotta do that up.
Gotta do that. Yeah, maybe 10.
Now I just got on ESPN Bet because they got me doing ad reads. I might have to jump on FanDuel, DraftKings. Tease. I'm in the building, so I might as well be making some money betting on the Sixers.
No doubt. Let's
see. Who do I think is going to go off tonight?
You Tobias can do Harris. 8. If you do Sixers by 8, it's plus 200.
Come on, son. Hold on. We about to get at least get this money. We about to at least
come on.
Get
it. 10 no, pays. Let's see. What else do we have here? The Nuggets.
I'm not.
Yeah, that with the Nuggets minus 9.5. That's plus 463. Spread is, Greg, it's 3. The actual minus 110 number is 3. Sean Marks does have to go. Is there some sort of, because I don't know, is there some sort of like connection between Josai and Sean Marks? I know that Sean and Steve Nash were super close from their time in Phoenix, but it feels like Joe just will not let Sean Marks go.
I don't think he knows anybody else in basketball. I don't think he has any other like network.
He knows a lot of people in lacrosse, though.
It's Steve Nash. Steve Nash and him own a lacrosse team or something like that.
Yeah, maybe he should go out and try to get – it would be interesting to find a – because Kevin Ollie's not going to be it, right? Like, that's just not going to be it.
No.
he's got some sort of connections in the women's game. He could try to find a crossover there. Obviously, the Liberty have been run pretty well. It's just a stunning development.
Yeah, I mean, with the coaching search, I think we talked about some people on the short list, like Mike Budenholzer, Kenny Atkinson. But it just all—it honestly first depends on what the—
Would Atkinson even come back? He would pull a Steve Clifford?
I don't know because
he wants an opportunity to be a head coach again, and that's the only opportunity. Maybe
he turned down Charlotte.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah, he turned down Charlotte. About
the Charlotte Hornets. We just lost. What's Buddy's name that just left the Brooklyn Nets to go to the Charlotte Hornets?
Peterson, right? I think. He now took a
Jeff Peterson.
Oh yeah, he was like an assistant GM. Yeah.
Yeah, he was part of our front office. Now he's the GM now for the Hornets. And that just like, that kind of shows you like where we're at right now, because he would have been someone good to actually replace Sean Marks. And now he's going to a place that doesn't really have, like, they don't have a good coach. Steve Clifford's not a great coach. All they have in terms of future assets.
They just got into the game. They just locked the, if you can see where my fingerprints are, they just locked the Nets. Like, I'm FanDuel. I'm trying to – I'm over here blitzing it. They're like, hold on, buddy. What do you know that we haven't gotten wind of yet? I'm like –
It's on DraftKings. It's still up. I took Sixers minus 8 plus 200. That's a nice little – oh, yeah, now it's locked. I think it was because it was in my bet slip. Fuck. Both of us together, me and you, Keith, we've moved the line. We've shut it down.
I just started blitzing that shit up like 8.5, 9.5, 10.5.
Yeah, going back to like what the like Nets might do. Like Pim name slip back. He talks about, yeah, I know that I was about to bring up LaMelo and Brandon Miller, but like, are they really in a better position than us? Honestly, we're both in terrible positions. Charlotte are a poverty franchise just like us. So it's not comparing anything like NBA royalty. And with Kenny Atkinson, if he does become available, I think he does become available now that Steve Kerr signed that contract extension. I think he wanted to stay maybe because Steve Kerr wouldn't extend, but now become the head coach for the Warriors. But I think now maybe going into the season, next season, he might go for a head coaching job now.
Yo, is Brunson going to play tonight? I know this isn't talking Knicks, but is Brunson going to play? Knicks are only minus 2.5.
He's questionable.
In the Garden.
I want to say the Knicks are like 3-7 against the spread in their last 10. I don't know if I could put my hard-earned money on Knicks.
Yeah, ESPN Bet has it locked right now, too. Let me see.
It's locked on DraftKings too. Something's up.
They're like, wait. These guys aren't going to have any players tonight. Damn.
The Heat are signing Patty Mills. Would you look at that?
Yeah, I just saw that.
Of course. Wait till the playoffs when the little Mighty Mouse is running around knocking down threes for them. We're going to be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
The last time the Nets were really fun was that D'Angelo Russell year. That was like a really fun team.
Some of the fans wanted him to get traded from the Lakers back to the Nets this year.
But I've said this a bunch of times. Like how people say that team was more fun than the 2021 Nets is like
they vibes, not stats, not winning, just the
vibes.
Sure. Okay.
Staying up to watch them beat Sacramento that year. Staying up for a game like that worth it. It was like, that's why you're a fan. That's why we watch. That's why we're miserable. Like, I am miserable watching this team night in and night out. And I know it's my job and I know whatever. I'm a Nets fan. I'm on the radio. I have Nets podcast. But like, I like to win and I like to see like good basketball. I have league pass. I can watch other teams, but it's not like I don't have an attachment to them. When I watch the Nets, even last night, I'm like, bro, they're bums.
Well, you know this, Keith, from being on The Fan. And you talk about the Nets, even when it was Kyrie, KD, and Harden, and nobody cared. And I asked them, like, hey, what's it going to take for you guys to care about this team? And it's building organically. and not just buying players and disrupting a culture to try to acquire stars. And you, Sean
Marks can't do it.
You saw Jared Allen talk about that recently too, where he was like, we were having fun, we were winning games, we weren't the best team, but the culture was good, and they destroyed that by going out and getting stars.
You have to destroy.
Okay, the line just moved from 3 to 1.5. Now it's back open on FanDuel.
What happened?
It's 1.5 now.
Yeah, I'm still about to blitz this shit. I don't know.
No, you have to destroy that. You can't win. Name me one franchise that's won based off culture. Like,
name me one franchise that's won by acquiring stars.
LeBron, stars. The Heat.
D Wade was already
the there. Toronto Raptors got Kawhi Leonard on a 1 year.
But they already had the culture.
What culture?
Toronto had been fighting against the Lebronto, right, for a long time, right? You had a bunch of dudes. Like, you had
the Bucks got Drew Holiday. I can go on. So, like,
Drew Holiday is not a star?
Drew Holiday is not
like a star. Yeah,
but he's a top 25. Like, at the time, he's a top 25 player.
Drew Holiday is I love Drew Holiday, but let's not act like going out and getting Drew Holiday when you already had Giannis is the same as destroying, ripping out or an organic build to get James Harden.
Yeah, it's just I'm just saying that's very I've said this multiple times that it's so rare to not have at least like if your top three players, at least one of them has to be from a draft, like a homegrown type of player. Like, I mentioned all those teams, and they had to go out and go all in at and try and get that, like, one star. You know, but the Heat had D Wade. You know, the Raptors had, I mean, Kyle Lowry wasn't really drafted, but he was there forever. So Pascal Siakam, that's one. You know, the Bucks had Giannis. The Warriors had Draymond and Steph. So
and Klay.
Yeah, and that's why I always go back to trying to go for a rebuild, because then it would actually make people care. I mean, in terms of New York, like when KD, Kyrie, and Harden was here, a lot of people weren't as talking about it as much as they should have. But at the same time, every time I looked at, you know, the highlights of like each views on YouTube, the Nets would always have the most views of anyone because they were just, you know, box office. So it was just I guess, like someone said in the chat, that the vibe was different, but it was different because we actually had expectations. You know, with that, the reason why that team was so fun in the 18-19 season was because we had no expectations at all. The year before that, we only had 28 wins, and we had basically the exact same team apart from like Ed Davis and Jared Dudley. So, you know, it's just, it is different, but you have to have at least one A on your team to go all out. And, you know, the Nets were never, if the Nets just a lot of, there's so many Nets fans that say that, oh, we should have built around D'Angelo Russell. I'm like, well, D'Angelo Russell's like a third option of a 10 seed now. So like, now what?
Yeah. I don't think building around D'Angelo Russell was a great idea. No, but I think that it was a very fun team that was on its way to build momentum. And I think when you just buy stars, you're seeing this with Phoenix right now. We're just going to bring in KD. We're just going to bring in Beal. And then we're going to have our existing guy in Booker. And then you basically, D'Lo was an all-star in that year, but you're basically disrupting all the depth that you have and everything that you've been able to grow, especially with the new salary cap rules. And so you've got like a seven guy rotation, and that's including Grayson Allen. The Suns, if everything's not perfect, they're fucked. They're absolutely screwed. That's why they're in the play-in tournament, right? So you kind of have to say, all right, what are we building? What is this? What's the chances of KD and Kyrie staying here long term when all they do is bolt for new teams when the situation's not perfect? And then you get a guy who like never has coached before, can't instill culture at all. Now it's Nets -1.5. Is Tyrese Maxey not playing?
They might be resting somebody. I still took the Sixers -7.5.
Same. Better value for us.
Like, the thing is, it's the second half of a back-to-back, and these guys fold. And like, with Kevin Ali. There was a, you know, we'll go.
Oh yeah, he is out. Tyrese Maxey out with a concussion. Yeah.
Who is?
Okay, what did I say? I'm about to load up on Tobias Harris. Tobias Harris made threes. I think you get plus money if he makes three threes. I know that's probably like not gonna happen, but it might in Brooklyn. It might in Brooklyn.
Yeah. So I mean, if you look at just the like, you can't have no culture on a team. You can't win with just culture, but you can't win with just stars.
That that's absolutely true. Yeah, no, I absolutely like, you need a combination of everything, but also you need luck. Like the Nets were the most unlucky team that year in 2021. Even if Kyrie didn't get hurt, we'd probably win the championship that year. Like even without, because then
I'm tired of hearing that. I'm tired.
I know. I have to go back to it. But even then Harden wouldn't like come back and force his hamstring, you know. So I don't want to go back to all that. But to build a championship roster, you need a bunch of things to go right in terms of luck. But you also need the right coach. You need the right superstar or face of, I guess, the franchise. You need everything to go from top to bottom. And you need role players that buy into the system. But right now, the Nets have probably zero of that right now. I mean, the Sean Marks, again, I appreciate Eric for, you know, coming. I follow him on Twitter. He's a great reporter. And him talking about how Sean Marks wants to go star shopping again. It just like, did you not learn from the, not even just last time, like again, with the KD Kyrie Harden trio, I saw that more as just like everything that could have gone wrong. And it was a whole culmination of things. But even when you go back to the KG, Paul Pierce, Jason Terry, like days, like look at the Celtics. The Celtics, the reason why they made every year the conference finals and NBA finals once is because of us. I mean, to be fair, like Danny Ainge is a god at, you know, drafting insane players. But at the same time, you just need sort of, you need a balance of young players, homegrown. You need that one star. You have those like gritty players like a Pat Beverly or something like that. So it's just a culmination of things. And just right now, we're just miles off it.
Yeah, and the roster doesn't make any sense either.
It's unbalanced.
You have too many wings, which is crazy. You have no point guard. I don't know why Dennis Schroeder's on this team. I forget he's there on a night-to-night basis.
Because Spencer Dinwiddie just was a negative contract. So at least we got something.
Needed a point guard because Ben Simmons is never healthy, and that was the option they could get at the deadline.
You're supposed to build your offense around Ben Simmons. Is the only way that it works with Ben Simmons, but you can't really do that because you don't know when you're going to get Ben Simmons.
Jacques Vaughn lost his job thinking that, oh yeah, training camp, Ben Simmons looks good, we're going to build around him. It's nonsense. All right, let's go back in time. I've wanted to get Trista on this podcast for weeks, not just because it's Women's History Month now, but since I saw her put out this, I was like, yeah, she gets it.
Trouble. Did you see what they did the other night?
I did not.
Okay, so they're playing the Bucks, and the Bucks have been on the road. They had played three games in five days. They end up resting every single starter and then some. It was like Noah Clowney out there and, you know, Trendon Watford. Mikal Bridges has one of the longest streaks, I think, if not the longest streak of starting in the NBA, so they let him play a quarter. This is over the Christmas holiday, PJ.
Yeah.
They sold out Barclays and then some. They had to put in 1,000 extra seats. And they set everyone against the Milwaukee Bucks. Wow. And they ended up losing by over 20. Even though it was a close game, even at halftime, I think they were down 3. And Jacques Vaughn's like, I don't need to give you an explanation. I think I hate the Nets. I think I hate Sean Marks.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, the Nets are a team that feels like they're desperately trying to tank for no reason because they don't have their own picks.
Bars. I mean, spoken like a true Nets fan.
And you know what's crazy? You know what's crazy about, like, I agreed everything with what you said, but the crazy thing is we had a winning record at the time. So, like,
We felt like we could have won that game that night.
And I think it was actually, like, at some point in the third quarter, it was a tie game, or we were up by one or something like that.
Yes.
Like why? Like, it doesn't really hurt to play some guys an extra 15, 20 minutes. I don't. It just didn't make
sense. They got fined $100,000 for that dumb shit.
And then when the trade deadline ended, someone actually asked Sean Marks, you know, like, was this the part, like, was this the sort of start of the end of Jacques Vaughn? And then he said that wasn't just his decision. It was from like a culmination of
people. Obviously.
I'm like, then so he's the scapegoat now. Like, Jacques Vaughn, he's not the right coach. Obviously, I've gone on to say that about Jacques Vaughn. I think, again, nice guy. You know, he was with the team for a very, very long time, but he just had a system that was flawed. And he kept on, like, he was too arrogant to change it and didn't have a plan B. But going back to that Bucks game, it just shows you that this organization just does not prioritize in winning, honestly. It just more prioritizes on getting the seats filled. That's what Joe Tsai at least thinks. Joe Tsai is a business mind. He's not a basketball mind.
Yeah, the thing that is interesting to me about Jacques Vaughn, from what I understand, is that he was being told basically what to do in terms of who to play, how much to play him. He was told, okay, this is why we have to play Ben Simmons more. This is why we have to play this player more to increase their trade value, which that obviously did not work. And then he was telling Spencer behind, you know, Sean Marks' back, we need you to be more vocal. We want you to be able to lead this team. Like, your assist ratio is higher than Cam Thomas's. Like, you need to assert yourself. And it's like, no, Jacques Vaughn, you need to assert yourself. You can't be telling the team one thing and then go back behind the team's back and tell individual players the exact opposite when it's very clear that whatever the decision that you've made for the quote unquote team isn't your decision. That's the thing that I don't understand, is you're either the coach of the team or you're not. You can't go down being somebody else's scapegoat. You have to institute your own plan. And if you go down because they don't like you doing that, then at least you're a man doing it your way and not just you're falling on somebody else's sword.
Yeah, I'm still looking at I'm like, all right, is Mikal Bridges going to play? Of course he's going to play because he's Iron Man. But is he going to be effective because he had the wrist injury last night? Is he going to be able to shoot? Because if he can shoot regular and he can score 25, 30 points, then they could probably win this game tonight. But, man, the Nets are just trash. So, going back to last night, Memphis had just 9 available players, not including Jaren Jackson. It didn't stop them. I mean, I'm watching the Yes Network, and they're telling you before the game, notable players out tonight. Morant,
Bailey, their whole starting lineup.
They also, and here's the key, they came in on a 5-game losing streak. So do I think they can beat the shorthanded Sixers tonight? No, I don't. And I'm actually about to put some parlays together for like Tobias Harris, which is hilarious.
I feel like it's one of those games that actually like flips on your head, because like it watching that, I for some reason I did actually watch that game last night, but watching it just felt like the energy was so low that it was like they were saving it for tomorrow, and or well tonight I should say, and that
they took them lightly completely.
They didn't give them enough respect, you know. I know the Grizzlies are a bad team, but it's not like these are bums. Like GG Williams, good player. John Conchar, good player. So like these are guys that
They got a good coach. Their coach saw the game last week. He's like, yeah, we could beat them. Yeah, we could beat them with what we got. They're not
that good. Taylor Hendricks is a good coach. GG Jackson probably would be the number one player taken in this year's draft. This year. He came out a year early. There's a lot of like Jonathan Givony. I mean, you look at how big GG Jackson is. The reason he's getting his opportunity, obviously, is jaws out. But he's like 6'7". 6'9".
Oh, did I say GG? I said GG Williams by accident. I meant because I think there's Vince Williams, yeah. GG Jackson. Yeah, I mixed them up. Yep. But yeah, like these are nice like pieces to have. Like these are 2 or 3 guys that when everyone comes back, they'll be rotational pieces of a playoff team. And you could potentially also add Nick Claxton to that team. And you have that starting 5 of something like a John Morant, Marcus Smart, Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson, Nick Claxton. I mean, that's a really, really good starting 5 that right there is a culture. That's a cultural you know, because you have your homegrown guys, you have your superstar in John Morant, you have, you know, grit and grind. You know, that's been the like mantra of the Grizzlies. The Nets, like, what is their cult? Like, what is their culture? Like, that's what I'm trying to find out. We had that like 1 year, 18, 19, but like, what, just we go hard? I think that's what it was. But like, and that's true. But like, what
they team, lost it, dude.
Yeah, but like, what,
for a little bit of time.
The problem with Sean Marks is that we don't have to go back to that exact culture. We can create one ourselves, but it doesn't have to be that.
But that's what they thought they were going back to this year, right? They were saying, okay, we got the superstars, the divas out of here. We're going back to Brooklyn grit. We're going back to just guys that lock in and hustle and dive for balls and play hard and pass the ball, share the ball. And it's not all about one guy. Of course, Mikal Bridges is the main guy. But any night, it could be Cam Johnson or Cam Thomas or Lonnie Walker, Dennis Smith Jr., like these journeymen put together, Dorian Finney-Smith. Like, you know, these guys are going to be competitive, and they were in the very beginning of the season. But as you all know, the beginning of the season doesn't mean anything. And now they've lost that identity of, like, Brooklyn grit, trying to get back to where they were when the team had, like, lesser players, but they were having fun, they were winning games. They were dancing on the bench. The whole D'Lo, Caris LeVert, Jared Allen, Theo Pinson, Jared Dudley era that attracted, KD and Kyrie were like, oh, cool, Brooklyn, hip-hop. They got this whole, like, certain look. Even KD talking about, oh, yeah, they wear all black. They just go out and hoop, handle their business. That's what he wanted to be a part of. Nah, I think it all starts and ends with Sean Marks and the Brooklyn Nets have beat two teams that are above 500 since Christmas. And that's where this thing all went downhill. Like Trista's video, it was December 27th. It was the weekend that most people are like, oh, we got family home. They sold out Barclays Center. It was capacity. You know there's some Nets fans that feel some type of way about Giannis and the Bucks. You know I hate Giannis. You know I've talked about how he's a bull in a china shop, how I feel like they don't know how to call his game correctly. Like, he can do whatever he wants, run and dunk, man. How this guy just like, he has these corny-ass dad jokes, but really, he's not what you think he is. He's knocking ladders out of the way. This guy's chasing after guys to get a ball in Indiana. I could go on about Giannis. I'm just not a Giannis fan. But yeah, we got
the question that I keep
emails before we get to.
Real quick. Okay, go ahead.
No. We got 15 minutes left. There's just a warning.
Oh, I was just going to say that the question that I keep coming back to is like, what's the plan? What is, where are we going? Because you look at, say, Atlanta goes and trades for DeJounte Murray. It doesn't work. We know it didn't work, but we at least kind of know why they did it and where they were trying to go. Like, they've got a Nekia Kungwu. They move Clint Capella to the, you know, to the bench. So you're like, okay, they need defense. So they get a guy from San Antonio, first in defense. Doesn't work, but we kind of understand what they were trying to do. I don't even understand what the Nets are trying to do now moving forward. Like, is Sean Marks like Bobby Fischer and he's setting up the chessboard where all of a sudden we wake up and it's like, oh, like this is what they are? It all makes sense now. It didn't, and now it does. I don't think so.
I think Sean Marks is trying to do, this is what Eric said, so don't fight me when I'm talking what Eric said. But he basically said that he's going to try and go for a big trade during the offseason, go for the new coach. And, I mean, obviously the name out there is Donovan Mitchell because he probably won't sign the extension with Cleveland. And then you try and build around him and Mikal Bridges. And then in 2025, with such the amount of cap space we'll have with no more Ben Simmons and, you know, probably no more Cam Thomas or Nick Clark, like everyone else is basically sort of just a question mark. You sort of build around Donovan Mitchell and Mikal Bridges and get another big player to build around to make sort of your own big three. And then Eric said basically saying that, if that doesn't work out, if they aren't able to make those trades, if they aren't able to get the big free agents, then at the end of next season, where Mikal Bridges still has some sort of value left with his contract, then he will sell.
At the lowest possible moment.
Exactly.
Basically, in the lowest value of Mikal.
Basically, he's gonna like give it one more try before he like throws in the white towel when he should have already done that.
Yeah, I'm not rolling.
All right, let's play. I think Big Fan Breezy was in the chat early. And you know Big Fan Breezy is always dropping voicemails early. Make sure you guys check out his pod. Yeah, he said W chat, W guess. What up, Talking Nets? So I think this voicemail was from Breezy yesterday. Let's see what Big Fan Breezy had.
Probably a lot happier than he is today.
Yeah, because this is before the game last night.
Yo, what up, Talking Nets? What's going on, Keith? What's going on? Oh, man. Adam, man. Yo, what's going on, y'all? I was calling to say that I see the difference in Mikal Bridges' game when he got an adequate point guard because of the spacing that Schroeder creates. Cam Johnson and Bridges could get more uncontested three-pointers because of the spacing that Schroeder creates that Ben Simmons did not create, because Schroeder is going to get that midi off the pick and roll, or he'll attack the basket, and he can space the floor by shooting the three ball. Those three things make us a better team. Kevin Ollie is running sets. It's not just a dominant point guard with 20 assists. You got Schroeder with assists. You got DFS. You got Daron Sharp with assists. I mean, KO, I call him Coach TKO, you know what I'm saying? Because he's a knockout coach. You know what I mean? My favorite coach. He should have been a coach since the beginning of the season. I like what he's doing. I'm confident in tonight's game versus the Grizzlies. I see your show coming on at 1 o'clock tomorrow. I'll be there for that. And I think we win, and I think it's going to be a three-game win streak. Hopefully my word rings true. Shout out to Talking Nets. I'll see y'all soon. Peace.
Yeah, that was yesterday at, 4 o'clock.
I don't want any Nets fan. If we do win today and there's like a big performance by, I don't know, let's say Mikal Bridges or Cam Johnson, I don't want any Nets fans to jump back on, oh, we can make the playoffs again. Like I think that one of the first comments in the chat was basically saying like, this season is done. I'm like, I've seen that about 10 times. Yeah. Rahala said, I'm done with this team. I'm like, well, weren't you done with this team like 2 weeks ago and the week before that and the week before that? Like,
a year ago,
drag yourself back in. Like, you know, the season's been over probably since January, December, January.
Yeah.
It's like when you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend that just keeps fucking up and like they bring you flowers for one day. And like they take the trash out.
I know you're like, no good. I know you're no good. Yeah, I don't know why I keep
letting you back in the house. You know, it's like Dua Lipa says, you just like, don't let him in. Don't take his calls. If they win tonight against the Sixers with no Tyrese Maxey, do not get real back in thinking this is a play-in team. For what?
Yikes. Well, thanks for joining us, Krista. Thanks for joining us, everybody in the chat. I actually don't know now as I'm looking at the line movement. Like we were live on this. Now it's Brooklyn Nets minus one. So that moved from Brooklyn Nets plus three to Brooklyn Nets minus one in the time that we started and ended this podcast. And we learned that Daron Sharp and Lonnie Walker aren't going to play. And Tyrese Maxey, I think, was the biggest line mover. And now I want to get some more information on what the Nets are going to do and what their plan is. But I'm going to the game tonight. If you guys are in Brooklyn, I'll see you out there. My main chant, if they start to suck, I'm going to hit them with that. Broken. That's my new one.
You got the credentials on and you're just heckling the team?
Yeah, I'm going to be in there with the credentials on like, broken. Brogner be like, yo, Keith doesn't give a damn. He is different. I mean, I just keep it a buck, yo. I just keep it real. Like, if they don't hear us, if they don't hear the fans, then, like, who are they hearing? They're not hearing anyone. Like, them telling themselves that this is fine and this is okay. T-Rexy, what up? You late, bro. We know. Maxey is out. We know Maxey's out. We had a whole thing on it. I put 100 on the Sixers minus 7.5.
Plus 200. Good value.
Yeah, well, let's see. I still think that that could happen. I think the Nets are beat up. I think they're physically just out of it. They lost to the Grizzlies last night. It's the second half of a back-to-back. Yeah, that's all we got, man. So we'll catch you guys next week or maybe later this week. Probably, no, what's today, Tuesday? Probably next week, man. This team is cooked. But maybe they get a win tonight. Maybe something crazy happens. Maybe Cam Johnson goes off. He was going off during the weekend against the Hawks, and then things change. But Trista Crick, let people know where they could find you at. Thanks for joining us.
Twitter, find me Trista_Crick. Not Krista, TRYSTA _Crick. I know it's hard. It's like the K and the T. You don't know which one's which. And then TikTok, you can find me at this Heat Check. You can get me on Instagram at this at Trista_Crick as well. And then show Heat Check comes out 4 days a week, Monday through Wednesday, and then Friday as well. And then also WFAN this weekend, I think right after the Nets game, I'll be on. So 10 to 2, something like that. And then also Monday through Friday, betting show 7 to 11, Bet MGM tonight. I think that's on the Odyssey app. You can get that on a bunch of different radio stations as well.
T-Rexy, you a fool. You was definitely in those Nets Twitter spaces last night. He said, yo, what's worse than losing against the Memphis Hustle?
It's their G League team, their G League affiliate. Yeah.
What's worse is losing a back-to-back here when we did the episode, I think a week ago, and we looked at the stretch of games against the Hawks, the Grizzlies, the Sixers, and we're like, yo, they're supposed to go 3-1. They're supposed to go. And like, no.
I'm pretty sure we actually play the Pistons later.
Pistons next.
So yeah, it'll probably that'll be worse. That'll be worse probably.
Yeah. I remember last episode we were looking at the upcoming schedule and we had some optimism. We're like, yeah, whatever. You know, the Magic game was embarrassing, but they have an opportunity to go on a little bit of run with this upcoming schedule. The Pistons, the Hornets. And I think I was like, I'm about to pull up the schedule right now. I was like, they definitely win 4 out of these next like 6 games, right? Nothing is certain. Nothing is definite. They beat the Hawks, handle business at home. They lose to the Grizzlies. They probably lose to the Sixers. They should go beat the Pistons, but the Pistons have been obviously fighting a little different in these last couple weeks. And man, I don't know. I don't care. NETS now end the season.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, he has all kinds of little wordplay.
This is what you got to do as a Nets fan. You got to figure out ways to just laugh through the pain and survive the miserable season. We've got like 20 games left. So you guys know how we end this, man. Let's go Nets. Let's go Nets. Brooklyn.